Welcome back inside the tailgate, Monday edition. The Raiders lose their opener on the road, 22-10, and you know, all the calls, the texts, the social media, everyone coming in feels like, well, here we go again. Same old Raiders. That is the feeling from the nation. If you want to be part of the conversation, 702-365-9200. Taking your calls. It's a cleanse. Hit us up on the text line. Let us know how you're feeling to get it all out. You got to get it all out before the workday, before the work week, and as we begin to pivot towards another road game and another Harbaugh in Baltimore. And, you know, we talked to Eric Allen earlier last hour. It's a devastating loss. You know, the fans are saying it feels like the same old thing. Hey, guys, you know what's not the same old thing? The UNLV Rebels. I was lucky enough. While Vinny was out there on the beaches in Southern California just frolicking in the sand, I was doing some more homework at Allegiant Stadium and checking in on the Rebels. 72 points, Clay.
Hello.
72 points, second most in program history. Barry Odom's got these boys rolling, and now they got Kansas, a ranked Kansas team. A win could vault them in the top 25 for the first time in program history.
Yeah, I actually watched that game from my hotel room, and I will be in Kansas on Friday night when they play the Jayhawks. Looking forward to that, and this feels like a really good football team without question. And you can eyeball it too; you can see the type of players that Barry Odom has brought into this program, and you know that's how you win football games, guys. Yes, scheme plays a huge role into it, coaching, motivation. Execution, all those things, but you better have some talent as well. And I go back to something that Raider 66 said earlier, you know, the Raider way and the Raider culture and the Raider this and the Raider that, which is all great and all valid. But I remember the Raider success. I was a kid through most of it and then a young adult through another significant part of it. And you know what the Raiders way was really all about, besides, you know, that culture and that kind of swashbuckling, you know, mentality? They had great players. They had great quarterbacks. They had great players. They had talent at every level of the team. So we get caught up in this whole culture thing and this whole Raider way thing, and that goes for, you know, every team out there. But you have to have talent, and talent wins football games. And it's been far too long since the Raiders had a decided advantage talent-wise over other teams that they play on any given Sunday.
And you know what's funny about this Rebels team? This is the first year since I've been covering the team that they've had a decisive advantage on,
there you
on a
go.
Lot of teams.
Mm-hmm. Shocking that they're winning, right?
And it's what a feeling it is.
Yeah, even on the defensive end where this team would register less than 10 sacks a year,
right.
Like they actually get pressure on the quarterback. These are
they
things that you had not seen.
Sacks a game sometimes.
Right.
So we walk into Allegiant Stadium on Saturday. Real quick story. And, you know, my son's kind of asking questions. I go, buddy, if you want to cheer, you know, the Rebels, that they're in red. Utah Tech's going to be in white, but, you know, the Rebels are in red. And he goes, but, Dad, like, shouldn't I cheer for the Raiders? I go, buddy, two different things. You know, you can cheer for the Rebels here. And we get to the seats, and we're at part of the end zone where they scored four touchdowns in the first quarter.
Oh, good.
And my son just like, is this normal? I'm just like, definitely not. But it was a good time. Family had a good time. They did not have a good time, though, watching yesterday's game. A lot more questions, just like the rest of the nation, Clay.
You know, and when you think about the talent discrepancy, as you brought up, Vinny, like it kind of gives you a thought that if the Raiders were to have a lead and they had opportunities to extend that lead, especially in the first half, then you kind of feel confident that the talent on the defense can help you win games. They can hold off an opponent for at least a half of football, and we kind of saw a little bit of that last yesterday. How can they get to that point where they can start extending leads? And that's the big question now.
I mean, are you asking me that question right now? What? I don't know. I don't know, Clay. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know how they go about building leads. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough sledding. And I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to evade the question. But you saw what a struggle it was yesterday offensively. And this is no shocker. It was a struggle last year offensively. It's just not happening right now. Can it start happening? Yes, but they got to be darn near perfect offensively in order for that to happen. I don't see a whole lot of big plays, explosive plays out there for this offense right now. Part of that is the quarterback. Part of that is I still am a little bit dubious on the offensive line, but I don't know. That's the thing. And It's frustrating, I'm sure, for Raider Nation, because I don't think that they know either. And I'm not quite sure that within the walls of the Raiders building right now, they know exactly how they're going to go about being a consistent offense that can hold up its end of the bargain week in and week out without laying this or hanging this defense out to dry.
You know, it's hard to win in the NFL. We hear that a lot, right? It's hard to win, partly because there's another team trying to beat you. Trying to beat them and get a win when somebody's trying to beat you, it's hard. It's even harder when you beat yourself. I mean, it is tough to win in the NFL when the other team's trying to beat you and you're beating yourself with just the mistakes, the missed execution, poor execution. It's tough stuff. And, you know, when we – after these types of games, you always try and read through what the guys are saying, right? You try and read through what Antonio Pierce is saying because – you know he's not giving you everything. He's as transparent as a coach as there is in the NFL, if we're being honest. But you're still trying to read through things. You know what you don't have to really read through? It's Davante Adams. He met with the media following the game. Here's what the star wideout had to say.
Yeah, this game was close, if not maybe for the turnovers, not playing clean football.
Yeah, we just got to be cleaner. I think there's a lot to learn from this tape from today, but the one that we don't even need to see the tape is obviously taking care of football, so we got to be on that.
Well, I'll tell you, as an offensive player, you guys had that ball, obviously, in 4-for-1 in the fourth quarter and the Chargers side of the field. You guys want to go for it in those situations, but...
I mean, my job is to run routes and do what's called. I don't really want to get into that.
Davante, you know, now that you had the first game under your belt, just what do you think of this skill position group and just how you guys performed out there and going forward?
I mean, it's one game. I don't think we got to empty the tank, but we did some good things, some good stuff to, you know, feel okay about, but... When you're talking about the potential of what it could be, we definitely didn't maximize it, but we got a lot of football left.
Davante, in a 17-game season, one loss isn't going to define the year, but how do you, when it's one that you kind of had a shot at, how do you get that out of you and just go on to the next one real quick?
You got to move on. It's next play mentality, next game mentality. Yep. It's really nothing we can do about it. I mean, I think if we, you know, come out and take care of a few things a little better, we definitely win the game, but... We didn't, so now we got to move on to Baltimore now.
Do you feel like there's like a lack of rhythm offensively? How do you feel out there as far as getting guys comfortable and getting them in pattern, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is just finding the rhythm. You know, obviously for us, with the routes we're running, the stuff that's getting called, all of that. So it's a little bit of everybody finding, getting back into it. And, you know, the preseason, you can kind of simulate that a little bit, but until you have all the guys together, everybody going, it's hard to be, you know, to do it exactly how you want. And, you know, I didn't come into today expecting to put the best show, you know, well, wanted to put a better show on than what we did. But as far as having the best show of the year, I wasn't expecting that to happen week one. So we got to find out what we can fix from this one and then, you know, go out there and correct it for next week.
I guess on a positive note, in a sense, playing inside of SoFi today, what was it like as far as Raider to Charger fans in there? What did it feel like as far as, like, the sound in there to you?
I mean, we definitely had some support in there. You could definitely hear it. You could hear some defensive chants and, you know, there was a few times. I'm so locked in out there. A lot of times I don't even really hear the crowd. But, you know, the times where I'm off the ball or we're off the field, rather, and, you know, Max go out there and make a play or, you know, one of the guys come through, you know, you could definitely hear them out there. So we got to keep giving them a reason to show up.
How big of an addition was Alexander Mattison to this offense?
Huge. He's a dynamic player. He's, you know, I played against him quite a bit in Green Bay. We had our times where we went head to head. So he's a great player, and he brings another kind of dimension to that running back role.
What did you see from Gardner in his first start for you guys?
I saw some good things, some things we can work on too. But you know, we all got to work together to help him as much as possible. You know, it's a really difficult position to play. You know, the better, more rhythm we can establish and find out what works best for him and what works best for his offense, you'll see a better result.
So that was Raiders wide receiver Davante Adams following Vegas's week 1 22-10 loss. And Vinny, you were there asking the questions, and he goes, you know, we did some things to feel okay about moving forward. But, you know, the question was asked, how does this get fixed? How do they find more points? How do they extend leads? Well, it starts by taking care of the ball. And you know, you look at moments in a game, right? You look at moments and you just talk about backbreakers. You know, some of the things, you know, everyone's going to talk about the fourth and one in the fourth quarter. But for me, it goes, it's even before that. The Carlson missed field goal, Chargers go down and score. That's a 10-point swing, right? You know, the Gardner Minshew fumble, you know, that's a 3-point swing at the minimum. It's away from you. The Zamir White big run where you're like, it finally clicked. The running game finally got going, and then they get called for holding, which I looked back at the thing. I disagree about the holding call, to be honest. Tony Romo agrees with me that he does not think it was holding. Neither here or there. It was called holding. The very next play, he doesn't take care of the football on what was another good run. It was an 8-yard gain, but he fumbles the ball. Those are the moments and sequences in the game you can't have. The back-to-back sacks on Gardner Minshew, yes, by Mack and Bosa, that just drive killer. I mean, those are four separate pairs of plays that, to me, stick out more than the rest when you look at, well, how do they extend? Right there. And those are, and the games are all about moments, right? The margin of error is so razor thin. It's a moment, or it's a game of moments. The Raiders didn't have nearly enough and gave up too many.
I completely agree, and it goes back to what we've been saying today and been harping on throughout about how clean this team needs to play in order to give themselves a legitimate chance to win games. You can't have the fumble by Gardner Minshew. It never felt like he got control of the ball off the snap. He talked about a miscommunication. I think Eric Allen referred to it a little bit earlier. He and Devontae just weren't on the same page. Then he kind of tries to bring it back a little bit, and you know, the next thing you know, it's a throw behind the line of scrimmage, which is technically a fumble. You just can't have moments like that. You can't fumble it if you're Zamir White. I know we're not trying to imply that you. That the Raiders, you know, need to be perfect, but they gotta be close, and what they can't do is commit the type of unforced errors that they committed yesterday, and that's on top of the fact that the offensive line just wasn't winning enough one-on-one battles, and in your description, clearly whiffing on certain run blocks. You just can't have that. You know, you can't have Devontae and Gardner not on the same page. You can't have Minshew missing some open receivers, whether it was Brock Bowers or Devontae Adams. You can't have the bad run fits that Divine Diablo had. You can't have those. You're not good enough, unfortunately, to be able to overcome those things. You know, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you could have a couple of bad moments because you got number 15 back there who's like, all right, it's okay, we'll score 14 quick points real easy, we'll make something happen and we'll make up for it. The Raiders aren't built like that, unfortunately, and so they have to be on their P's and Q's throughout the game from beginning to end. That's just who they are this year, and that's why when we try to count it up, like how many times are they going to be able to win, you're going to have 13 games where you're doing the right thing and avoiding the bad thing, and already they're 0-1 in that regard.
Vinny, I like what you said there. We're not saying that the Raiders have to play perfect football. One, because that's not possible.
Right.
Two, that's not reasonable. But there's a phrase that coaches love to talk about, win or lose, and it's the phrase complementary football. And when we hear complementary football, that's not just coach speak. That's what we're talking about, moments in the game. Moments in the game. Complementary football for special teams and defense. Carlson misses the field goal. Well, now we need the defense more than ever to not, make the issue an even bigger issue. And what do? They go down and score a touchdown. So you can't have one bad mistake turn into two, because that's when it really snowballs. And that's when the game really changes.
Yeah, you know what complementary football is? I forget what play it exactly was, but there was a long run by somebody, and who doesn't give up? It's Nate Hobbs. Yes. It was going to go for a touchdown, right? Mm-hmm. And who doesn't give up on that play? It's Nate Hobbs, who hustles his ass off to go make a tackle ahead of the goal line. And what ultimately happens? the Raiders defense, you know, stiffens up and surrenders a field goal rather than what would have been a touchdown had Nate Hobbs not done a complimentary type play by not giving up on the play and go making a tackle. That's what we're talking about. That's why we keep saying it's going to take a village, you know, to build a winner out of these Raiders this year. And there's really no room for error, unfortunately. This is not an explosive offense right now, and so there's not going to be a whole lot of easy ones. It's almost like a paint-by-numbers type of a thing, and you can't miss any strokes. You can't miss any, you know, you can't leave any I undotted or any T uncrossed right now. Just to be able to put yourself in a position, you know, to score a touchdown or kick a field goal, you have to do right 99% of the time, and that obviously didn't happen yesterday in any way, form, or shape.
Yeah, Hobbs tackling Dobbins, you know, down at the 7 yard line, you know, yeah, going 46 yards. He was like a madman going down the field, and I was kind of wondering that if Jack Jones were to get suspended, could we see Nate Hobbs on the outside corner for week two if that comes to it?
He's so good in the slot, and he means so much to them, you know, in terms of being a tackler and a playmaker, you know, on blitzes and stuff like that. Probably not. I would think you would probably see, you know, whether it's we'll see if DeCameron Richardson is healthy. You know, maybe you can throw Holmes out there, you know, on the outside for an afternoon. But it's going to be if Jack Jones can't play now, typically. We were talking about this in the press box afterwards. Typically, they fine guys rather than suspend guys. So I don't know that the fight rises. You know, it was a lot of emotion, yeah, and it shouldn't have happened. It was the heat of the moment, literally and figuratively, after, you know, a kind of a gut-wrenching loss for the Raiders. I do wonder if the NFL takes some of that into account and just decides, look, what's the most fair penalty here is a fine. Hit him in the pocketbook. That always hurts. Why hurt the entire team, you know, by taking him off the field? So it'll be interesting to see where that all heads.
Let's get your thoughts. 702-365-9200 out to Colorado with Mark. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Hey, good
morning.
Thank you.
Doing good.
Well, yesterday was a complete disappointment, at least in a couple areas that I expected, right? There were bumps and bruises. I think all of us did in the very beginning, especially offensively, to see. But, you know, they've returned a lot of their offensive line. I expected better play out of them. I think the biggest disappointment to me was, you know, the huge runs, you know, the defensive line gave up. I mean, that first half was a shutout of Herbert. Herbert was seeing ghosts out there for throwing outside. He's afraid of Jack Jones. I mean, it was what they wanted to do, but it wasn't consistent all the way through. I guess the thing I'm concerned about, of course, is they, in essence, just got Harbaugh. You know, Harbaugh went into the game going, I have a brand new team, brand new everything. I'm going to keep it simple and just hope the other team makes mistakes. And that's exactly what occurred. So I guess offensively, the thing that concerns me, though, too, is, you know, it looked like almost Minshew was thrown in there, even though I'm not defending him. I think he had a pretty crappy game, to be honest with you. But it was almost like he was an Aiden O'Connell built type of offense. There wasn't a lot of rollouts. There wasn't a lot of slants. There wasn't a lot of drags. There wasn't a lot of those things out there that maybe could have helped move the chains a little bit forward. But ultimately, you know, you turn the ball over three times, you know, home, you know, basically almost a home opener, then you're going to lose. So my two cents.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is I only counted one true play action fake rollout on the call, and it was Brock Bowers' biggest game, 26-yard completion that was wide open. And what does that tell you? And that was a running game that was going nowhere,
yeah,
and they were
right,
still able to sell the play action fake. I was a little curious as to, you know, how little we actually saw of that and getting Gardner kind of rolling, in a sense, not on the move or not design runs or things like that. But there were a few plays that Gardner just seemed out of sorts. One I can think of, it was either the first or the second drive where it looked like it was Zamir was expecting it to be a toss or at the minimum a stretch play, and Gardner was looking like a normal dive off tackle type play. There was confusion there. There was confusion with obviously the fumble. There was just kind of they were out of sorts. And again, in a game where you're fighting and it's razor thin, and those are the moments that matter and make a big difference. Now, that being said, a credit does go to the Chargers defense. I mean, that they showed very well, but I also don't think the Raiders or the offense pressed nearly enough. And a lot of that was in part because they couldn't establish the run game. And so that's, in a sense, why they were out of sorts. But, I mean, there was just very little, even a threat to throw down the field. Even just a toss one up. Mm-hmm. Even if you overthrow him by a mile, I know Gardner doesn't have, you know, a cannon of an arm, but at some point you got to threaten something just to push him back. And that's the reason why a lot of those catches that were had, they were tackled immediately. It's because there's no threat. There was no cushion.
Yeah, even on some of the slants to Devontae, there was somebody right there. And you could see as the game progressed, anything that was thrown across the middle, there was somebody right there. And it makes you wonder, like, all right, and especially that, I remember that Zeus play, like, was there a miscommunication on what they were trying to do? And was that pervasive throughout the game?
100%. Well, that one looked like, again, without knowing every detail of what that play was supposed to be, it looked like that one was on Gardner, because even the way the line was pushing out was almost as if it was a stretch toss type play. Zamir stepped laterally two steps, expecting some wide variety of getting the ball, and Gardner wasn't there. So it's tough. And technically those are part of the scripted plays, because I believe it was the second drive. The first drive didn't go anywhere, so you're still on your scripted plays. And the fact that there was miscommunication on your initial scripted plays, that's frustrating. And when you're Raider Nation, you're watching the game and you're seeing this, you're just like, man, are we really doing this week one? Like, is this really happening already? That being said, Vinny, it is week one. It is week one. But, you know, now we're already seeing the test. How close is this team? Like, how cohesive will we remain when things go off the rails? Because yesterday, the game went off the rails.
Yeah, and it doesn't get any easier. You're playing a better team in the Baltimore Ravens at their place, and you know that they're smarting after, you know, a game that they felt like they could have won against the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs.
10 days off.
Right,
9 days
exactly,
off.
To stew about it and to prepare for the Raiders in their home opener. It'll probably be kind of hot and sticky there in Baltimore. We'll check what the weather is and the long flight, you know, out to Baltimore to face the MVP of the league. You talk about run fits and trying to fit the runs and having to play a guy like Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. I mean, against a defense, it's going to be loud. There's not going to be any home field advantage for the Raiders in Baltimore. You could forget about all that. And by the way, now they're 1-5 at SoFi Stadium. So for all this talk about, you know, how Los Angeles is their second home, they have not taken advantage of that whatsoever. The lead that they had yesterday, the 7-3 lead that they had, you know, briefly, was the first lead that they've had at SoFi Stadium against the Chargers since 2020.
Ouch.
Yeah. So they keep falling into holes. Certainly, the last couple of years where they have fallen into holes that they can't dig themselves out of. And the very thing that they've wanted to avoid this year, which was digging themselves into a hole record-wise, is very dangerously close to happening. You start 0-2, you know, and then almost all of a sudden you look at the Carolina Panthers coming in here for your home opener. Well, Carolina looked terrible yesterday.
I guess that's the only silver lining at the moment.
But even that, there's not going to be a gimme on this Raiders schedule whatsoever. And I'm not, you know, trying to be Debbie Downer here, but you know, who can you comfortably say, yeah, the Raiders are going to win that game? Is there a game on their schedule that you can definitively say that?
I would say no.
Exactly, and that's, you know, that's a problem, because, you know, it's like in baseball where you start looking at who can I get out here as a pitcher, right? You know, I could kind of picture, you know, that's going to be, but I could get this guy, that guy, that guy. You know, you start counting them all up, and I don't see a whole lot of games, if any, that the Raiders can say, yep, that's a game that we should be able to that we will win. You know, can win is a whole different story, but will win, it's hard to have confidence that there's many of those after what we saw yesterday. Because here's the thing, guys, this is what they stressed it and talked about it and emphasized: getting off to a fast start, the offensive line firing off the ball and winning those battles, you know, up front, stopping the run. That was a priority. Last year, if there was one thing that, you know, that the Raiders struggled in defensively. It was stopping the run. So they talked about it and talked about it. And, yeah, they did a pretty decent job of it. But decent job isn't good enough. You know, they at the end of the day, they gave up 176 yards rushing, 100 yards on two carries to one player. It's just they got run, you know, a 12-yard touchdown run they gave up. So it's not scary times, but it's kind of disappointing right now and a little bit daunting, especially where they're going to go next week.
Coming up on the morning tailgate, despite all the sorrow and despair that week one has presented the Raider Nation, I'm going to tell you why there is a possible light at the end of the tunnel. It's the gate.
And I'm going to tell you about our good friends over at LendingStore.com, because maybe you're in a predicament right now where you need to find some extra cash, like really quick. Maybe you need $500 to $5,000 as soon as tomorrow. And maybe you're losing a little bit of sleep over that. Maybe the credit cards are maxed out. Maybe the credit's not where it needs to be. Well, don't lose any sleep, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now, so why wait? Here's what you do. Just go to LendingStore.com, have their experts help you find a lender that can get you that $500 to $5,000 in your bank account as early as tomorrow. So don't lose any sleep. Just go over to LendingStore.com for all the details.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's something we harped on. We talked about literally for 2 weeks. I thought for the most part in preseason we did a decent job of that. But, you know, we had two explosive runs, got a holding. Got another explosive run, we fumbled the ball. It seemed like right when we got midfield, there was like this, it was like something that was going on. It just either pushed us back and we couldn't figure it out. And that's we're going to go with players and coaches, all of us. We've got to obviously look at it. And it's not good enough, because there's plenty of opportunities for us to put points on the board. Thought we had it. Again, you know, you're going to play the game going for it every fourth down? No. You got all-pro punter there, and you got a defense that's playing well for majority of the game, you play football. But, you know, the style of play, the way we want to play, our identity did not show up today.
It's Raider Nation Radio. Coach Antonio Pierce coming back. We want to hear from you on the text line, 702-365-9200. He's right. You know, you got two turnovers at midfield, a fumble by Minshew as well as Zamir White, and then the missed field goal more or less around midfield. Devastating, and this team is still not strong enough to overcome mistakes on offense. We see up on the text line, 702-365-9200, the Chargers game plan was exactly what the Raiders should have done, but the Chargers executed it to perfection. Joseph in Denver. Banker Jay says, who is that on as far as explosive plays? Luke Getsy's playbook or the players? At this point, is it execution or play calling? For me, I don't know. I would have to say a little bit on execution, because in short yardage, you should be able to find a way for your offensive line to be more physical and to start muscling guys over.
Yeah, for me, it's a lot of both. I thought there were, looking back at the game, the second time, it just felt like Gardner Minshew was impatient with a lot of his reads, specifically to Davante Adams when they were playing zone. He wasn't waiting for the window to open. He was just moving on to the next read, which, you know, we've used the term squirrely to describe Gardner Minshew when he's moving, but he just looked squirrely when he was in the pocket, just with his decision making. He just never looked crisp. He never looked in control. He never looked like he could take a breath. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's not because he was on the run. It has nothing to do with that. He just never seemed comfortable. And he even said in the post game, you know, this was our first opportunity on the big stage, I think was the words he used. And I thought that was interesting. And he was talking about him and the offense and just being on the road and getting together for the first time. But, you know, when he says, you know, it's frustrating but encouraging, you know, he obviously sees a light at the end of the tunnel. It's tough to see it if you're a Raider Nation just watching, you know, those 60 plays for the offense. But, Vinny, I got to say, when talking about light at the end of the tunnel, Christian Wilkins, for the fans that did not know about him or know how he played when he was in Miami, this guy's the real deal. I mean, he played 95% of the snaps. Max Crosby's the only one who played 100%. They had him dropping in coverage on a play in the red zone. This, you talk about a guy who hustles and has a motor about Max Crosby. This guy is chasing down runners. He is a freak of an athlete, and we got to obviously see him in practices, and we get to see him on a daily basis. But if you're watching him for the first time, just watch number 94. He is an absolute specimen, and he's getting double teamed on the interior more often than not.
Yeah, I agree. And real quick, I go back to it's team execution. There were plays that were there to be made downfield or wide receivers that were open. And I just felt like Gardner Minshew, like you said, gave up a little bit too quickly on certain plays or just didn't make the throw when he needed to make the throw. So I'm going on execution. Yeah, there's always going to be play calling, that you'd want back or do a little bit differently. But by and large, I felt like it was execution. And so the Raiders got to get that cleaned up. You're absolutely right about number 94, Christian Wilkins. He is as advertised. And again, for the most part, the defense, hung in there in spite of very little help, from the offense. I feel horrible for the defense that, you have to harp on some of the mistakes that they made because in a game with, very little margin of error, that's what you're going to look at. You can absorb the mistakes that the Raiders defense made if your offense is out there lighting up the scoreboard. But, that wasn't the case on Sunday. And let's not pretend like this was supposed to be some great Chargers defense out there, right? So this is a defense that, I get it. Their backup quarterback last year when the Raiders scored 63 points. But that defense also didn't play very well last year at all. That's why Brandon Staley, the defensive genius, got fired. So this wasn't like expected to be almost a transition year for the Chargers defense. And the Raiders, had no answers for it. That doesn't bode well moving forward. But you're right, Christian Wilkins, a phenomenal football player. You just hope that this Raiders defense, along with Max Crosby and Ja'Cory Bennett, I thought played a really good game.
I agree.
It felt like Charles Snowden came in and did a nice job. I felt like the safeties played well. It was a good defensive effort for the most part, but they need a lot more help than they got from the offense.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought up Snowden because that's where I was going to go next. Obviously, Malcolm Kuntz gets hurt during practice leading up to the week. Tough gut punch kind of the day of as they're getting ready to go to LA, and then you see that he gets put on IR. He's going to miss at least the next three games now.
Yeah.
And then
that's going to be a while.
Max called it an unfortunate. He felt really badly for Kuntz, and it didn't seem like something was going to be week to week.
No,
it does not sound good. So you're not going to have him for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. Tyree Wilson gets injured in the game, comes back, and then eventually gets ruled out. Now it's not fair to speculate or anything like that, but when I watched the tape, I was specifically watching Tyree, and it was the play where Max got his sack. Tyree comes off the edge, unblocked, jumps. That's why Justin Herbert didn't throw the ball, keeps it, and Max picks up the sack. The way Tyree came down on his left leg, you could tell he kind of like shook it out. Everybody else on the defense is celebrating, except Tyree Wilson, who's walking back. And I noticed that in real time. I'm like, that's weird. Why isn't he celebrating? And then when I watched back, I was like, ooh, maybe did he tweak it there? He comes back, tries to play. I watch him. He did not look like he wanted any part of what he was doing on the field just because it looked like he couldn't. He eventually gets ruled out. But to the point on Snowden, he played 53% of the snaps on defense. I think that's a lot more.
He lined up Garden defending tight ends.
He
out on
did.
That.
Well,
and he started, didn't he?
He did start, which was interesting the way Patrick Graham lined up that defense to start. You had five down linemen. You had Max on one side. You had Snowden on the other. And then you had the two D tackles with Tyree on the middle. And that was clearly a point of emphasis to stop that run and force Herbert to throw. But it was fascinating. They did that in the entire first series, went back to it a little bit in the second series, and then, the game was what it was. But it was interesting to see Graham go that way. And talk about bringing the heat. Like, that was kind of – I was kind of surprised at how much blitzing Patrick Graham did early as opposed to – and you talk about having an attacking defense. I mean, you talk about living up to how you want to play. I thought Patrick Graham, called up a great game in that aspect.
Yeah, and I agreed with the plan because I don't care what anybody says, Justin Herbert, the chances that he's pain free right now or completely
slim to none. Yeah,
right, exactly. And he didn't really run yesterday at all.
He did not.
So probably tells you a little bit where he is mobility wise. So what better way to really push that issue? than by trying to attack him with the blitz and bringing pressures. And the Raiders, like as we were talking about leading up to the game,
mm-hmm.
if you do what you did against number one, you had to expect that that Justin was going to be a little bit rusty, if not still a little bit injured,
right?
And so that was an opportunity for the Raiders to take advantage of Justin Herbert light, which is what he played like. He was Justin Herbert light out there, and the fact that they still couldn't take advantage of what was a struggle of a game for Justin Herbert, in part because of what the Raiders did to him, to not be able to take advantage of that by leaving Los Angeles with the win makes it doubly frustrating.
Coming up next, we'll do the final sit-down here on Raider Nation Radio here on the Morning Tailgate. Don't forget, though, next Sunday for the Ravens game, I will be live for a Raiders road rally over at Barcode Burger on East Flamingo, just east of Maryland Parkway. 10 a.m. for Raiders Ravens. There will be Raiderettes, Raiders alumni, signed memorabilia, gift cards, jerseys, and tickets to an upcoming game, as well as food and drink specials from Coors Light. So join me on Sunday morning over at Barcode on East Flamingo for the Raiders Road Rally. In fact, we will open up the phone lines now to give you a chance to win two tickets to go see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, The Lost Christmas Eve Tour, Friday, November 29th at the Orleans Arena. Tickets go on sale, actually, this Friday, but we have two here for you right now. Be caller number 9 at 702-365-9200.
I want to sit down.
The Morning Tailgate.
We have a new Paisan. Oh,
Vince Sapienza.
That's right, we do. Vinny
Bonsignor.
It's a stereotype, and it's offensive.
Clay Baker.
I'm German-Irish.
Back up.
On Raider Nation Radio.
I want to sit down.
Well, as we close the show with the final sit down, we start this segment with good news as opposed to how we started the entire show. Clay, Vinny. Happy Gilmore 2 is officially in production.
No.
It's happening.
Wow, what?
It's back, baby. It's back. Breaking news.
But Carl Weathers.
I know.
Can he make a cameo appearance?
Hope so.
Yeah.
Well, the Happy Gilmore 1 ended with him waving.
He's got to wave. You got to keep those cuts. Chris Farley at the end.
With the damn alligator.
Do you feel like Adam Sandler's having a hard time getting some of the new ideas passed through production to get these movies made? Let's rehash some of the old stuff from 35 years ago.
Very well could be, but I'm not a big sequel guy. This one, I'm excited about. But speaking of sequels, the dynamic kickoff. Got a couple stats for you.
Really?
34% of kickoffs were returned this weekend as opposed to 20.5%. from week one in 2023, so that is on the up. There were 3 kickoff returns of at least 40 yards in week one, which is up from the average last year of 1.3. And we had 1 kickoff return for a touchdown this weekend.
Yes, Vinny! Vince, you guys are on top of this, man.
After only 4 of the entire year last year. Now, I infamously, or famously, we'll go with famously because it sounds better, said there would be 2 kickoff returns in week one. I got one. I got one more game left.
It's going to happen. You can feel it.
I need Jordan Mason from the 49ers or Xavier Gibson or Isaiah Davis from the Jets to make something happen.
Because DeAndre Carter let you down.
DeAndre Carter, former Raider. Once a Raider, always a Raider. I thought he had it for Chicago. I thought he was going the distance, and then the kicker had the angle on him. We're close.
I think you're onto something there. Because, as we saw in Vinny, you saw how Harbaugh was not electing to even dare work with the kickoff. They were doing touchbacks. You could see that a lot of teams were starting to take a look at it and see if they could find a competitive advantage if they could kick it into the striking in the landing zone.
Let him return it!
It's a good way to get fired there, Vince. I'm a little bit. I thought that Moore would at least try. So it was a marginal increase from last year, but I do wonder if that's going to start going down a little bit. Considering Vince, what we were talking about with the explosive plays and the one that went to the house.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if what kind of reaction we're going to see for next week, because it's always been about that for me more so than the first week, is what's going to happen in the second week. So it will be interesting, without a doubt.
All right. For Vince, for Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. Rich Eisen is next. And then you got a full day of reaction. If you weren't able to get through today, make sure you go to JT the Brick from 12 to 2, Q Myers from 2 to 5 here on Raider Nation Radio. And as always, make sure you download the LV Sports Network app. It's free to use, free to download, and it streams clearly on both iPhone and Android each and every day here on Raider Nation Radio. Have a great day, everybody.